Hello and welcome to Retrotainment. Back here with my co-host, capital C, capital O, Greg. How are you doing, buddy?
What's happening, homie?
Nothing much, nothing much. We continue on with our Halloween films. This one is probably the biggest in terms of
Horror that we've done this
being
one.
being an actual horror. In terms of being a big film, it's definitely not the biggest that we've done even this month. It's got the biggest franchise though, maybe.
In terms of amount of movies, no.
From this month that we've done, what?
Oh, from this month, sorry,
Yeah,
yeah.
from this month, it's probably the
It's
biggest.
probably the only one, is it?
I suppose the Addams Family technically has a franchise behind it, which is probably bigger than this one.
No, there's only the what, the two cartoons. There's the
The whole
three.
TV series as well,
Oh,
though,
well,
you know, like
yeah.
if you're
You'd
talking about
forget about
that.
that, wouldn't you? Well, you
Yeah.
wouldn't because it's class, but
Yeah, no,
very
for.
easy to overlook it. But yeah, it'd be close.
In terms of just films, I think this is the one with the
Yeah.
biggest.
Well, this one has a can sort of a story that kind of rehashes itself, but
Yeah, it's the same story each time, really, isn't it? You know, it's for those who don't know, it's Final Destination.
some of the greatest acting you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah, not like in all honesty, it's not a great series of films.
It
Any
didn't
of the
age
films
well.
aren't well, none of the films are particularly good.
They're enjoyable though.
I enjoyed them. A lot of people don't like them. I enjoy it and I like the concept, but it is very, you know, simplistic as well.
But like these movies came out like in terms of horror, there's 90% of horror movies people aren't gonna like, you know what I mean? 90% of horror films aren't good, but people will enjoy them.
Yeah, exactly. And that like this is kind of similar to your Wrong Turn thing.
Yeah,
Except
I say that on every episode.
I'd say Wrong Turn, the original Wrong Turn is probably better than any of these
Yeah, the original one would lose
Final
us to,
Destination films anyway. But came out on the 17th of March in 2000, so you're talking just
Paddy's Day.
pre-summer. Yeah, very strange day for it to come out. Don't know what this has got to do with Paddy's Day, but you know, pre-summer blockbuster, so they were obviously, you
But
know,
I think they were trying
sticking
to
away.
catch off the
Catch the off
spring
season.
break or whatever.
Yeah, well, this is kind of the off season. There doesn't tend to be a whole lot coming out in the January, February, March sort of area. So if you're not sure about a film and you think, well, I
Book it
could
out
do well
somewhere.
or it might not do, like get it out here and then
Well,
see how it goes.
you're gonna see that now in January with the likes of Scream and all coming out.
Yeah, well, I think
There's a difference in the time in the timeline now where people aren't just associating horror coming out kind
exactly,
of
yeah.
summer. Like now there's certain months that blockbusters come out. So you have your obviously your winter blockbusters, and you have your spring, summer,
Yeah,
and that.
exactly. This, I think they were just they weren't sure how well they would do if they came out around Halloween time or
I
came
think
out
there was a
around
lot
summer.
of I think there was a lot of problems in terms of getting the time to get this out. Obviously being a plane crash and people going away in the summer and all, didn't
Yeah,
really want to be
exactly.
running that.
You wouldn't want to be running it then.
We've seen the impact Jaws had on people going to the beach when that came out.
Exactly, yeah. So they probably did think about that when they were releasing it. In terms of ratings, 35% from 96 critics, which I think is probably a little bit low.
I'd say like it didn't age well at all.
No, it doesn't age well. I probably would have put it in the 45s or so. I don't think it's that bad.
It's a very enjoyable, but as you said, time and time again, a lot of those are probably I don't really like horrors, but don't like the concept of this. That's fine. You don't like the
No.
concept, that's fine. Doesn't mean it's a bad movie.
The main complaint seemed to have kind of been that people felt this was a very cheesy teenager sort of idealistic view of, you know, faith is out there and no matter what you do, it'll always come to get you. And I get that it is. And when you watch it, you can kind of see that that is the concept here.
Yeah, I get this one, like, but this could have worked even if it was an adult movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it has a
By adult
60.
movie, I mean like they could be older, like.
Yeah. It has a 68% with the audience, which I think is probably a little over. I think that's a bit high, to be honest. But
I know that these came into a lot of love when they came out because they were so original.
exactly. I think it is. It's the concept that pushes them up there. This idea of you know, you escape death, but death still comes to get you
Like I
one
love
way or the other.
the story for this is brilliant in terms of the way they tell it, and
It's
like
very smart, yeah.
it's nearly his descent into madness to try and figure it out.
Yeah, and That is right. Like it starts. I love the start of it where his mom has taken the last flight tags off his thing, and he's like, "Don't do that. It's good luck. Don't do that. It's good luck. Leave that there, please. Just leave it there. It's good luck." She just takes it off.
She's a dick. She caused all of this.
Bet you she feels like a right dick now after that.
Fucking arsehole.
Yeah, but she removes that. I do like that when he's asleep during the night, you see his clock flash to 180, which is the flight that they're on, flight 180.
There's a couple of them. Like, there's a couple of things that they do. The taxi fare
is
that you see in the back when someone's getting out, it's 180 as well.
Yeah.
No, you don't actually see it. It's off center, but you can see it. It's in enough focus that you can see it.
There's loads of little bits like that, that it's just to the side, you know, you see the number 180, but it's constantly just.
And then I think it's on one of the coffee cups where they're at the bar.
I think it's the price of the coffee. Or is 180 possibly or something like that. But you see it a few times. The main character, Alex, looks awfully confused about the entire concept of the airport, though. Like, he's in there looking at, you know, the board and like, what flight are you going to be on? He looks terrified of it. I was like,
well, like when you see him talking to the ma at the start and the da has been in a plane crash.
Yeah, he has. But the guy looks, whatever about being, you know, a bit off about an actual plane, he seems off about the entire airport. Not really sure about what's going on the whole time he's in there, is he?
I think he always looks like he's fucking stoned off his nut.
He looked a bit fucking questionable anyway. And then we obviously seen another little throw to what was going to happen with Clear watching reading the book about Princess Diana's crash. So,
Jesus, yeah, you do forget about that.
Yeah, like, you know, the whole build up to this, they're kind of giving you a little bit of, you know, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen.
Some kind of disaster.
They're feeding it to you. I do like the idea that his mate Todd is like, we got to go to the bathroom. He's like, what? What do you mean we got to go to the bathroom? He's like, we're going to be on that plane for, you know, six hours.
It's not 6 hours from New York to Paris.
It's probably around that.
No, sure. It's about 8 or 9 hours from here to New York, is it not?
No, you can fly from here to New York in like 6 hours. Yeah. It depends. It's hard to tell. Like, certain parts of America would only be 6 hours if you're flying into them. So it is hard to tell, but like, you know, he's like, we're going to be on there for 6 hours. Do you want to be going into the toilet? And then you come out and one of the girls is going in and you've left it stinking. And he's like, you're right. Let's go to the bathroom.
Good thinking, really. Except I wouldn't give a shit.
I don't think most people would, to be honest. But sure.
Those bathrooms, it doesn't matter if you're the first person in, the last person in, they stink.
It's going to stink if you're the first person that goes into it anyway, so it doesn't matter. But they get on the plane anyway, and we see the whole plane crash scenario play out, you know.
Even just before that, what a part that Sean William Scott plays in this, having played Stifler in American Pie, like the jock. He plays the little nerd in this one. Because you see him getting bullied at the seats.
Yeah, you do forget he's in this. Like,
he's a quality actor, though.
You do forget him, though. Like, I completely forgot he was in this.
Yeah.
But we see the whole premonition of the plane, you know, taking off and then catching fire and everything. But you don't even know it's a premonition. You're just like, this is just happening.
Like, you're like, what the fuck? Like, if you haven't seen this and you watch this first scene, you're like, holy, they just killed a whole school full of kids.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, this is what I liked when I first went to see it. I was like, wait, hang on. This is the whole cast has just been killed off here. Like, where is this film going?
You know, like, now it reminds you of, do you remember Tarantino's movie Death Proof?
Yeah.
Where they build that story around like four people and then they're just gone and you're like, well,
yeah,
that's how this is going.
This whole thing, it was like, right, all the characters we've been introduced to so far are gone.
Yeah, that was a waste of 15 minutes of my life.
What the hell are we going to do now? And then obviously he wakes up and you're like, oh, it's a premonition. But he is freaking out on that plane. Like, he is completely freaking out. And he's like, get me off this plane. As I suppose you would if you just, you know, had this daydream of the entire plane going up in flames and blown up. And he gets escorted off the plane and Todd follows him. And a couple of other people.
The two lads getting into the scrap.
Yeah, and then the two of them, your man, what's his name? Carter is the one he gets into the scrap with. So Carter and his girlfriend get carted off as well. And then
he plays the dick in this really well.
and then the teacher gets off with them, and then
the two teachers come off.
Yeah, and then the other girl, Claire, follows him off as well. And
poor Sean William Scott's late.
Sean William Scott is late, and he's like, can I not get on the plane? And they're like, no, you have to stay here now.
I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, but, you know, it's probably for the best in that sense.
Well,
the thing is, he was always late for the flight, so he should have been safe anyway, because he was always late for that flight, no matter what.
Yeah.
But they get taken off the plane, and now the plane does take off. One of the male teacher gets back on it, and the plane takes off, and, well, the catastrophe happens. And they're all kind of looking at him, being like...
You can tell they spent their budget on the premonition, because the next bit's just...
Yeah, it just kind of blows up in the sky. Right, that's that done. Grand, lovely. Get that. That's that done.
Like, did you notice they over early shoot this where you see them walk into the window as if the plane's already exploded?
Yeah.
And then it goes off and you're like, oh.
Yeah, but...
It's like they cut the scenes in the wrong way.
Yeah, they were just... They put everything they had into the first scene and a couple of the other ones that come later, but... The rest of it, they were kind of like, don't worry about the rest of that. Everyone will forget that bit anyway.
Yeah, it's quality there, though.
I like that the FBI kind of show up and question all of them. And they're like...
Oh, yeah, well, they would, because he's already on the plane and it said that there's a bomb. Or not that there's a bomb, that it's going to explode.
Yeah, and they question him. And, you know, he's just like, I had a premonition. And they're just like, oh, all right, let's let these all go home, so...
Well, I suppose, what could you do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, to be fair, he hasn't done anything, so you can't hold him.
You can't say explosion on the plane, but this was pre-20 or
yeah, I know, but 11. he hadn't technically
done it.
Well, he hadn't done anything anyway. He freaked out on the plane and got escorted off. You know,
to be honest with you, though, like, you'd be hard done by, like, your dad was in a plane crash. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and you freak out on a plane. No judge is gonna.
No, well, even if, you know, even if they're like, why did you do that? You'd be like, well, I didn't actually do anything. I freaked out.
Yeah.
That didn't cause anything to happen. Like, I just freaked out. But they all get taken home by the parents. We noticed that
Claire.
She's not taken home by her parents. She gets taken home by Alex's parents because she has no family.
Thanks for the lift.
And you're kind of like, this is some 16-year-old. Like,
see, this is what I mean. This is what I mean. Like, the timeline in this is a bit broke.
Yeah, like, why does nobody live with this girl?
Yeah, and, like, she has a house and all, so...
Yeah.
I think she references that the dad or the ma's away with the boyfriend or whatever.
Possibly something like that, but she's just there on her own the whole time from then on. But we kind of, like, we see the funeral, and we hear that Alex and Todd haven't spoken since...
Yeah, they're best mates as well.
Yeah, they were best mates, and they haven't spoken because, obviously, Todd's brother stayed on the plane and...
Yeah,
he passed away and whatnot, but they haven't spoken since. But all the parents are acting like Alex is, you know,
a murderer.
Like, that he's out there blowing up that plane, and you're like, I don't know, like, that's a bit harsh, you know. The kid freaked out on the plane, and you know, and
that picture behind you shows really he is tripping balls. Yeah.
But, like, he freaks out when they're just like, everyone seems to be blaming him. Even the teacher seems to think he had something to do with it.
Weapon in this.
Yeah, and you're just like, this poor kid, like, he's gone through some serious trauma here as well. Like, I don't know if you should all be blaming him, but...
That's some seriously shit here.
Yeah. Well, him and Todd, just, you know, they say, listen, we'll meet up and we'll, you know, we'll try and get things back to normal.
Yeah.
And this is when there's, like, a gust of wind in everybody's house, which you're kind of like, yeah, I suppose that could happen, you know. You're sitting in your house, there could be a gust of wind. No big deal. But we see Todd in the bathroom, and I love the like, blue liquid that comes out of the toilet, but it, like, snakes its way to him, but it's using the cracks in the floor.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, you're kind of like, is it just a leak? Like, that could happen, because if something did leak, that's the exact path it would take.
Yeah, it's like a gel, so it's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's obviously not just water. It's a bit more clear as a bluish gel.
Yeah, and, to me, it always reminds me of, you know, if you're ever in the airport or in the airplane, when you flush the toilet, it's blue liquid that comes out.
Yeah,
like the disinfectant.
Is. Yeah, and I think that is what it's meant to kind of be.
Yeah.
But they never really reference it that much.
Because you don't see it again.
No, you don't see it again. Yeah. But it's quite, like, it kind of
follows. She's dead.
Yeah, it kind of follows him around, and we see Alex at home and he throws the magazine into the fan and it blows back a, you know, shreds it up and blows back one bit and it says Todd in it.
Yeah, like what? Like how that fan's not going to chop the magazine up? Yeah.
But he freaked out and he's like, right, I need to get over to his house. Runs over to the house. But when he get by the time he gets there,
the coroner's there.
Well, the FBI, the coroner, everyone's there. And as you said, this is a pretty brutal death. Like the,
oh, it's vicious.
The now, shower is, curtain thing is, wrapping around his neck. And
it is very just avoidable, really. Like he's trying to stand up in the, at the end of the bath. Just sit on the edge.
Yeah, but the thing is that he's trying to stand up, but there's also that liquid is on the bath, which is why his feet slipping out from under him, you know?
Oh, I know that, but like if he sits on the edge of the bath,
he's fine, I know.
Yeah.
But you're like at that stage, I suppose you're panicking as well.
Yeah, but then watching that thing wrap around his neck, you're like, ugh.
Yeah. But after that, you see the liquid, you know, rescind back into the toilet. So it's no longer there. So it looks like there was nothing to cause this issue other than him. Yeah, you know. So it's ruled as suicide.
The only time you see it then is on the bat. So it looks like he's done it himself.
Yeah. So they, you know, it gets ruled a suicide and stuff, and you're unclear. Is like, right, come on.
No one would think any different, though. You know what I mean? He's just survived a plane crash that's killed his brother.
Yeah. And, you know, Alex is like, no, he definitely didn't do that. Like, he didn't. And they're like, well, what were you doing there? Now, I don't know how they could blame him for this, because how would he have got into the house and out of the house before anybody knew?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like they had their target line set anyway.
Yeah, they do. And your own Claire gets him out. She's like, come on. We got to get out of here.
We outie.
So they go back and she tells them, you know, she followed him off the plane because when she got on the plane, she had the same sort of spine-chilling feeling.
She believed him.
Which not only did she believe him, but she said she didn't feel right on the plane either. She didn't have a premonition, but that she didn't feel right either.
And I don't know about you, but if someone freaked out like that when I was on the plane, I'd probably be like, well...
Yeah, if you got, the other way, like sometimes you get like that chill up your spine. If you got onto a plane and you had that, like as you were sitting down, and then some lad freaked out, going, this plane's going to crash, you'd probably be like,
I'm going to take my chances here.
I'll just take the next flight, actually. Yeah. It's all right. I'll just get off here. Thanks. So, like that's kind of what happens here. And, you know, the two of these are kind of like, they both feel like something's still after them. Neither of them feel like they've escaped.
Well, what I like about this is, though, you don't see anything.
No, the two of them just say it's a feeling. They're just like, I feel like something's after me.
Yeah.
And this is when they decide they're going to go to the morgue to see what the story with Todd's body is and, like, did he kill himself and stuff.
This is where you get, if you're going to horror, you look for an old-school horror person that talks. Like, you could have Robert Englund as a face. Right, he's not. You don't really know him for his voice.
Yeah,
you obviously have Kane Hodder, who's arguably the greatest slasher to ever do it. Do you know what I mean? You have Michael Myers, who's played by about four or five different people, doesn't say anything. But the one voice you'll always remember is the Candyman's voice. And they went out and got Tony Todd, and he does the Candyman voice in it.
Yeah, and what I like is that they keep his name as Tony in the film as well.
Yeah. It's great.
It's very good. But the speech is good.
Yeah,
and he delivers it very well, but it's very tropey as well, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's set to try and chill you. And you're like,
yeah, he's like, death has a sadistic design and it's going to, you know, it comes to us all and you don't fuck with the Grim Reaper, basically. And he basically just tells them, you've escaped death, but he's not letting you escape.
That's all he's part of his plan that you've survived.
Yeah, so he's like, yous have screwed up his plan, but that means he's going to come and get you now anyway. Yeah. And from here, they start looking into, you know,
the patterns.
All the patterns. And like, Alex is obsessed. Like, there's no other word for it.
I love how where he's sitting downstairs now, and then you see it comes on the plane. It's like, it started under the left wing.
And he tracks where it went.
And gets the map, and he's like, that was my seat, but then I moved.
And yeah, he tracks out pattern. He figures out the pattern. So he's like, this person, he said, you know, Todd died first. So next is going to be the girl. Then next is going to be the teacher. and he tracks it out where each one's going to go.
Essentially, he should have died first.
Yeah, but he has himself not in his original seat at the start. Yeah. So he thinks he's survived. So he's like, it's gone past me and it's on to the next ones.
Yeah.
But then he realizes
I moved seats.
Later on, he's like, I never actually moved seats. So the whole concept of what he had laid out was wrong.
Yeah. Like, it's a very good double twist in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, yeah, it's this person. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
But what I like is that before he even works out that bit about him not moving seats, that, you know, they go for coffee, him and then they bump into Carter and Carter's girlfriend on the, like, he's driving down the road that knocks Sean William Scott's character, Billy, off his bike. You're just like, what a dick.
And the teacher's there as well.
Yeah, like, they all kind of meet up, but he sees in the window, he sees the girlfriend getting creamed out of a bio.
Smashed.
Out of it by a bus, and he looks up and she's still standing there in front of him, and he kind of shakes it off. He's like, don't know what I seen there. And then she gets in a fight with Carter and goes to walk off, and sure enough gets creamed out of it by the bus.
Oh, smashed.
Yeah. And this is when he starts to realize, you know, that he's getting an idea of what's going to happen to people, so he can prevent it.
Yeah. It's done very well. I didn't like that bit though, that he can see, all right, he had this premonition and whatever, but like that he sees what's going next.
Yeah. I thought that was a little bit much. And I think they rectified this
in the second one.
In the second and further ones. Like, yeah. I still think that the third one of these is probably the most famous of them.
The roller coaster.
Yeah, I think everyone knows the roller coaster one more than they know any of the other ones.
Probably the death scene, the most famous bit in Final Destination is obviously in two with the log truck.
Yeah, but that's a specific scene. But I think number three is, if you ask most people, that's when about Final Destination they remember the roller coaster one. Yeah. I'm not even saying it's the best one. It just seems to be the one that most people remember.
Yeah.
But they rectify this sort of issue where it's now a thing of however you were meant to die. So, you know, like if you were meant to get your neck slashed, that's how you're going to die in the future as well.
I think that's what they were meant to try and do in this one, and just went wild.
Yeah, but like there was no way she was getting hit by a bus when she was on the plane, you know, sort of thing. Yeah. So it's like,
well, to me, it would have been an impact death. So something would have hit her.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, possibly. But, you know, she dies and they're kind of like, right, we need to work out how to get by this. And he works out that the next death is meant to be the teacher.
Yeah.
So he goes to her house.
Gets
nicked because she calls the police. She's like, yeah, this weird kid who, you know.
But she's already told him that she's afraid of him.
Yeah, she has. Like, she completely blames him for this.
And she's leaving as well. She's packing up.
Yeah, and I mean, it's weird that she blames him, because how can you blame him? Like, he was just some kid who freaked out on a plane. But I suppose your head's not in the right place at that stage.
No.
But she gets him nicked, and things kind of seem okay. He gets taken off by the FBI, and they're like, what are you doing? You know, you predicted the plane crash. You're at your mate Todd's house. You were there when this other girl got killed. Like, what's going on? And you're like, yeah, but all of those, like,
he hasn't done anything.
But like, he showed up to his friend Todd's house after he was dead. This girl got hit by a bus. He just happened to be there. Like, none of this can be his. He just happens to be there. Like, how
technically,
can you
technically, her death is her boyfriend's fault.
Sort of, yeah, but do you know what I mean?
Like, if he had just kept on driving.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, they're looking at him and they're like, you're at all of these deaths. And it's like, yeah, I am, but how would I make a bus hit her? How would I make him do that? Like, how would I do any of these things that you're saying I'm doing? So they eventually let him go. They're like, he's right, though. They're like, you know, they're all coincidences. And he just kind of happens to be. There's nothing we can do. So they let him go and he rushes back to the teacher's house. I think this death is quite...
Oh, this is vicious.
Like
the suicide, whatever you want to call it, saying is bad, but this is worse.
But I like how this one kind of builds up. You know, you see her pass by the knives and you're like, oh, is it going to be something with the knives? And then it's not. And you're like, oh, and then it's going to be this. And then it's not. And you're like, there's so many little things happening and it just builds and builds and builds.
Yeah.
Then she looks at the computer and it's smoking. And she looks down. Now, I don't know why she tries to what she thinks she's going to do by looking at the computer that's smoking, but it just blows up and the shard just shoots into her neck. And like,
it's bad, isn't it?
The amount of blood that's coming out of her, and then it obviously sets on fire as well. And the fire like follows her blood.
Yeah, well, it's following the drink, isn't it? She spills a drink.
Yeah, it follows the drink to where she is.
Yeah, because the cup is cracked.
Yeah.
So it's dropping vodka all along the way.
Yeah, so it follows that. And then she gets in there and she grabs the towel, but the towel drops the knives all onto her. But all of this happens just as Alex shows up. Like, he gets to the house and he sees all this and the house is on fire and everything. Yeah, and he gets in there. And then he runs out and he runs straight into your man Billy on the bike.
What's the worst of it? She's still alive and the chair falls and pushes the knife the rest of the way.
Yeah, just as he gets there.
Yeah.
You know, and this all builds the, you know, death sadistic design. Like, it's making sure he sees it. Yeah, so he walks out of the house. He runs out of the house and smashes straight into poor Billy again.
On the bike. Poor lad. Again.
Poor lad getting battered out of it.
You have to wonder why he's there again. I know it's designed that.
Could live around there or whatever, you know.
I love how when he's in the house, you see the imprint of his runner.
Yeah.
Left completely in her blood.
Yeah, so that, you know, the police can pin it on him.
Also, put his hand on the knife.
Yeah, because he tried to remove it, which is a bad idea anyway. You should never do that anyway. But he smashes into Billy, and then he knows that, you know, this is going to be pinned on him, so he just runs.
Yeah, he's got on the lam now.
Yeah, Billy obviously rings the police and he's like,
"Well, the house explodes."
Yeah, and you know, Billy's there and he's like, "Yeah, I saw Alex run out."
Snitches get stitches around here.
Yeah. But they eventually, like, he gets hidden out up in this cabin.
It's her dad's cabin or something.
Her dad's old cabin, but he's worked out the design and he knows that he's next. He's like, I'm next. Like,
I'm gonna beat the design, yeah.
He's like, he hasn't worked out yet. He's opened the cabin and he's working out who's meant to be next here.
Yeah, and then he baby proofs it.
He baby proofs it and he, you know, puts on like rubber gloves and he's opening the tin of beans and stuff like that. Like, he makes everything, he's very careful with it until the thing kind of falls in the closet and nearly kills him. And he's like, oh, rusty nail nearly got me.
Yeah.
But he's completely lost it here. Yeah, he's completely lost it here. Like, he has, like, he's completely out of his mind. But this is when, you know, he meets up with Carter and Billy and Claire, and they're out in the car trying to,
the cops come first.
The
cops have figured out that he's there, and he runs through the forest.
No, that's when he's on the way to her house.
Oh yeah, sorry, it is, yeah.
No, so this at this time they the four of them meet up and Carter just decides, he's like, oh, if it's I'm gonna decide when I die, I'm gonna decide. So brings them out to that train tracks and has them, you know.
Yeah, this is where you see the next scene that he can foresee how to get out.
Yeah, and he's like, right. He knows he's like, Carter's the next one. Carter's the next one to.
But he never answers.
No. He's like,
by not answering me, you're telling me it's me.
Yeah. So he stops the car on the train tracks and the three of them manage to get out, but like, they have to climb out the windows and stuff. And they're like, come on, come on.
He wasn't getting out.
He said, no, I've made my decision. And then kind of at the last second, he's like, no, I do want to get out. Actually, this is insane.
And then he's like, you're trying to start the car. The car won't start. Right. The usual.
So, yeah. Alex runs in and, you know, just about saves him.
He knows how it's going to happen too.
Yeah. He just about saves him. And they're like, oh, we beat it. We beat it. You know, that's, you know, we've got past you. You're no longer the next victim.
Like, as much as I said, I didn't like the whole scene, how to save them. The one where you see him doing this one, he's like, it looks like it's his belt.
Yeah.
It has to break. And you're like, oh, sneaky. They make it look like he survived his one.
Yeah. So that he gets him out and they're like, right, he saved this. And then we see the next death, like, instantaneously. And like, normally, you know, when you see someone getting like decapitated, it's from the neck and the whole head is gone. This one is rough because it's straight through the center of his face. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, like, that is rough. Poor Sean William Scott. Good luck.
One of
to
the
him.
Only other times I've seen that is in Wrong Turn.
Yeah.
Where the hillbilly slashes her with the hatchet, but he gets her here.
Yeah, you see it in some, you know, like old action films with like swords and stuff, you'd see it, but it is rare.
Yeah, and when it's done very well.
It always hits harder than a full decapitation as well, like, because it's like, you know, you can see it straight through their head. And you're water, like, one was it?
There's a couple of ones, like 13 Ghosts has a really good one, but it's a decap, but it's sliced in half.
Yeah, it's in the center that rather than,
you see his brain, and you're like, yeah. But like the one, I'd say it'd be worse if it was kind of like this one's clean cut straight. Imagine it being cut up.
Yeah, it's a rough one anyway. Yeah. But
he's like, I'm not hanging around with you guys anymore. Yeah,
I'm sick of you guys. And that's the end of him. He's right. He's not hanging around with them anymore.
I always used to think it was a chain that for as long as I hadn't seen it in, I always used to think it was a chain on the bottom of the train that done it. But it picks up a bit of metal along the way.
Yeah, and just flings it out with him. Yeah.
And he just leaves him in a ditch.
What else are you going to do with it? You know, you have to run. Like, the police already think it's, you know, him doing it anyway. So,
yeah.
This is when he goes to hide out. Sorry, this is when he goes to hide out, because it's after that death. And this is when he's like, the next death is me. And then after me is Claire. And he's just sitting there and he's like, right, I need to hide out. And he's been really, really safe. And this is when he discovers. Sorry, this is when he discovered. Hang on, I never actually moved. See, he remembers that he never moved. See, because in all his other predictions, he had him sitting beside Todd. But because he follows the gas line explosion, and he's like, no, hang on, I never switched. I was always at the back of the plane rather than in front of her, because I fell asleep and didn't actually switch. And he's like, I'm not next.
She's next.
So this is when he goes sprinting through the woods.
The worst thing here is, right, so the FBI are suspicious,
chasing him down,
right? They're suspicious of him over the plane crash and whatnot. On the news, they've said that the plane crash was caused by an electrical fault in the gas line.
Yeah.
Right, so why would he be still a person of interest?
Well, it's because he's been at all of the other subsequent death scenes. Especially the teacher's one.
Yeah, the teacher's one, okay, that's fine. But, like, the suicide is impossible for him to be there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The girl getting hit by the bus, yeah, it's not his fault. But the teacher's one, I think, is the real one, because his hand is on the knife. And
but then again, the FBI aren't going to come out over one.
No, but it's because, you know, there's been...
Yeah, I know. It's they're trying to link it into the story.
You are right that in reality, they wouldn't be getting involved in this, but they're...
They do mention that in this, though. They said the FBI don't show up to suicides.
Yeah. So what are you doing here? So, like, you know, they're clearly still suspicious of him, of having some sort of inside knowledge of the plane anyway.
Yeah.
But this is when he's hiding out in the cabin, and he makes a sprint towards her house. And by the time he gets to her house, it's a shit show. Death has destroyed it.
This is real bad. Like, she knows that, like, the odds that something's going to try and get it, right?
Yeah.
You leave that dog out there.
Nah, you don't. That poor little pooch.
They're not going to touch the dog. The dog wasn't on the plane.
No, but the dog is, like, you know, the water spilled over and there's an electric cable spinning around. You know, you'd be...
The dog was the bait.
Yeah, I know it was, but you would be, like, you know, the poor little pooch. Like, I don't want them to him. So she goes out to try and save him, and that doesn't work. And then she gets in the car and we see, you know, the oil has, like, sliced along underneath the car. And that's how it's going to happen.
It's done like the toilet was.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly the same way. It's along little cracks and stuff in the ground, and it gets under. And it looks like, you know, there's no way she's escaping this. And that's when Billy manages to get there just in the nick of time. And he takes the shock.
Yeah, he's like, I can survive it.
Well, he's like, he kind of says, even if I don't survive, it means it's bypassed you, so you'll survive it at least.
Yeah, you know, the pattern again. Yeah.
He knows this will break the pattern. And he knows he's meant to be the final one. So he's like, this will end the pattern. So it stops but me. So, you think he's dead because it cuts away and you're just like, oh.
Yeah, but like the worst thing here is, like, this has all happened over a 2-month period or whatever. I think they said from the accident to when this all starts.
Yeah.
And, like, they've only known, they've known each other for a while, but, like, the two of them have only become close over sort of 3 days. And she's like, oh, baby.
Yeah, they fairly rush it, but I suppose it's kind of the idea of, you know, trauma can bring people together sort of thing is, I guess, what they were going for here. It is a bit rushed, yeah. Though, yeah. But he, you know, he makes the ultimate sacrifice. And I, like, when I first watched this, I thought this is where it was over, you know.
Yeah.
He dies, and you're like, that's the end of it. And then you just, it cuts to him, her, and Carter getting on a plane, and you're like, wait, hang on. I thought this lad died. What's going on here?
How good would that have been if it had been just the start of it again?
Yeah, it just returned all the way to the beginning. He was like, oh, for God's sake.
Okay, we go again.
But, you know, they get on the plane and they go off to France like they're meant to. So that
nine months later or something.
He somehow survived this electric shock that he should have killed him.
I wonder, are they trying to play it off that he was grounded? That's why...
I don't know, but he survived anyway. They go off on this holiday and everything seems to be kind of going well. And they're kind of joking and talking about it. And Carter kind of makes the joke. He's like, well, either way, you know, I'm safe because one of yous is next, not me.
Yeah, why would you make that joke?
But he makes that joke. And then we hear the guy in the background singing a song, which has happened. It's the same song, but it's been sung in a different language here.
Yeah.
But it's the same song he keeps hearing over and over again every time
this is another horror trope. The music, yeah. The same song.
Yeah.
It's like the Jaws, the Halloween, the Jeepers Creepers one.
Except he can hear it this time. Do you know what I mean? Which I think know, was a good which was a good little, you know, because as the audience you can hear it, so you know. But in this one he can hear it. In this one he can hear it. So it's like he freaks out, he's like, oh,
I'm going back to the room. You stay here.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going back to the room. I'm going back to the room. I'm going back to the room.
To me, that always thinks, I always thought that he's next.
Yeah.
And he's going back to save them.
That's what I got it as. He was like, it ends with me. So it obviously didn't end. So I'm going to force it to skip them again.
And take it myself.
But I'll actually take it myself. And he nearly does, because he nearly walks out in front of that bus and she saves him.
Was it the fire engine, was it? Or was it the bus? Yeah, bus.
I don't know what it is. It's a bus or a truck or something big. Yeah. And he nearly steps out and she calls his name. He turns around and just misses him.
Whizzes by him, yeah.
Yeah. And
that scene's done very well. Like, I don't know whether that's actually him standing that close to something flying by.
I don't think it is. Yeah, I don't think it is.
You see the wind and all, especially.
They do it very well. And then he's kind of like, oh, I survived. But then you see this big metal sign swing it down at him. Carter rushes over and saves him.
Yeah,
and he's like,
smushing the mush.
Well, Carter saves him, then he turns around to him and he's like, well, that's it. Now I've saved your life. We're even.
Bang.
And then he's kind of like, wait, who does that mean is next?
It just swings the other way.
Alex just looks up at him and you just see the metal poles and stuff just swinging down at him. And you don't see it hit him, but you know, like, that is going to cripple that lad out of it now. He's got 90.
Alex could be a dickhead here, could be a good lad here. And
kick him in the shins. Kick him in the shins or something.
Kick in the bollocks.
Yeah, he could, but I don't think he does.
No. It's that, you have to watch the second one to see that.
Yeah, it kind of ends here before it hits him, but, like, good. You know it's hitting him as well.
Good music as well in this.
Yeah, it is. It's very good. Yeah, very good. And, like, it ends with the two kind of main characters still alive.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, fairly, like, the two main character love interests still alive.
It's not so much a common one. Like, leaving her alive is fine. The final girl.
Yeah.
Usually the love interest gets taken out.
One of the love interests gets taken out. All right, yeah. Which is what you expect. So they kind of go the opposite way here, but they still leave
Technically, they did follow the rules in a way. Like, they killed off the couple.
Yeah, but they do keep two alive, you know, so it's not just one person.
Yeah.
Which tends to be the way, you know, there's always kind of two people left.
There's not many horror where there's a few that survive.
Yeah, but there's always kind of two. You might not get four or five, but you'll get two that kind of make it out.
Yeah.
Which I think was quite good. And it led on to a series that was relatively good. I think the two of these only appear in the second one. And then the third one just kind of goes off completely on its own.
Yeah, they just run off different events.
The fourth is just a different one. The fifth is just a different one.
Yeah. I don't even think they're in the second one for that long. I think it's just the opening scenes.
I think she's in the second one for quite a bit. I don't know that he is. I can't remember if he is.
He was like, I've said on obviously on this and on a slab a few times about like people whose name, like a female that's kind of looked at being the next big thing for horror. Ali looked to be it. Like she's not the single best looking girl you'll ever see in your life, but she's one you could believe could have been.
Well, she looked girl. She looked to be setting up to be a big name in it, and then kind of stepped away from it.
Having done the likes of this, and obviously she's in House on Haunted Hill, which is another previous episode we've done.
Yeah.
And things like that. But like she went on, and obviously it varies between people, but no one has really stuck it. Like even Jamie Lee Curtis didn't stick to it. Do you know what I mean?
No, you don't need to stick to it entirely, but
yeah. Like some of them she went away kind of, from it for 30 years or whatever.
Yeah, some of them step away but then never get cast in anything else really again, sort of, is probably the issue some of them find, that they just don't end up getting cast in anything then.
Yeah, see, horror's that genre of movies in Hollywood, isn't it, where...
Yeah, it's hard to break away from it.
Once you're a name in it, that's, you're going to get cast into it and into it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to break away from it.
You were in that shit horror movie, I'm not casting you in my Hollywood movie.
Yeah, and it is tough for them, but hopefully it didn't work out here, but there's a few decent horror films coming out now, and hopefully we see the cast kick on from them. Seems to have gone now at this point.
You'll have to check us out in about 10 years to rectify them.
We'll have to come back and look at that. As we said at the start, not a great film. You know, it doesn't stand up incredibly well. The acting isn't great.
Well, ideally, this wasn't even our pick. Thanks for that, Trish. You bailed on us about 40 times. So we said, we'll do it anyway.
it's not like I do like this series of films. This is kind of my wrong turn.
They're entertained, yeah. Like as I said, Wrong Turn for me is one, like, they're not great movies. The first one's great. They progressively, actually get worse and then get better.
Yeah.
But I enjoy them.
No, but that's the thing. Like, these are kind of my wrong turn. They're not particularly great, but I enjoy the concept of it.
Yeah.
And you know, you're just kind of like, okay, how's it gonna come back and get them this time? How's it gonna get them this time?
But like, that's the thing with movies. You like it, I don't.
Yeah.
I can't tell you you're wrong for liking it.
I don't think that, you know, the critic score is overly unfair. I wouldn't be saying, oh no, that should be up in the 60s or 70s. I think the audience score is a little high. I think people like it because of the idea of it, the same way I do.
Yeah.
But in terms of actual acting ability,
oh, it's dreadful.
Wasn't great. A lot of the camera scenes, not great. The continuity of it, not great. As you said, like, there's times where, hang on, she's meant to be 16, but she lives in a house on her own, and they're always going in and buying liquor in shops. There's a lot of, you know, stuff that doesn't really tie up correctly together in this.
Yeah, it's a strange one. Like, everything's kind of rushed as well. Like, the story, his and her love story is...
Well, I mean, nothing happens for 2 months to any of them. Yeah. And then...
He kind of goes off on one and was like...
Well, then they all meet up for this funeral 2 months later, which is quite a long time as well. I suppose there's an FBI investigation, so maybe that's why they meet up for this 2 months later.
Was it the funeral, or was it not just
a memorial
thing? Yeah.
It might have been a memorial thing, but like, either way, they meet up 2 months later and then it all goes to shit again. And you're kind of like, well, why wasn't he after this for the last 2 months?
Because Death's Design showed the news to show him. Like, he was asleep, and then he sees it on the news.
Yeah.
The plan. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to fucking figure out that this person's next or that person's next.
Yeah. I like the idea of it, and I think it's a fine film to watch. It's easy to sit down and watch, but I wouldn't be telling anybody to rush out and see it either. I wouldn't be, deadly. Like,
if you want to put something on in the background at a party or whatever... Grant, yeah. You want to watch a horror movie with a lot of people there, and you're not going to pay too much attention.
Fine. There's not much of a plot line, you know. They are meant to die. They didn't die. They do die.
Yeah.
Pretty much it.
You know what I mean? Like, it's different if you're watching the likes of a Halloween or something, when you have to follow it.
Yeah.
A little bit more, and you're like, oh, well, them people are talking. I missed what they said.
Yeah, like, nothing is overly important here. And even, like, as we said, the speech from Tony is...
That's the only bit you really need to hear.
I think that speech is done. He does it very well, but the speech itself isn't even that great. Do you know, like, the actual content of it isn't great. His delivery is brilliant.
His delivery of any...
He's very creepy. He's very, you know, creepy, but not like, oh, I think he could be involved in this somehow. But, you know, creepy as in, he believes what he's saying sort of thing.
Yeah.
But also what he actually says is just kind of very meh. Like, as I said, a lot of people said it was very cheesy, you know, of you'll never escape fate sort of thing. And that is kind of what the story is. And I can understand why people don't like that. But it's not a fantastic horror film by any stretch of the imagination, but it's enjoyable.
If you enjoy it, it's a good film. You know what I mean?
If you haven't seen it, you know, it is worth a watch, but it's not.
It may be worth a watch if it's on the telly. It is kind of more awkward to find.
Yeah, I wouldn't be going out of my way to go and buy it or anything now either.
I have them all somewhere.
I have them. That's how I rewatched it. But yeah, I wouldn't be going out of my way to.
But like, it's not on any of the streaming sites. Like, you can find them on certain ones, but
they pop up and down here and there. But like, I wouldn't be. You know, if you never see this, it's not going to be a bit. You're not going to be missing a whole lot, really, either.
You might be a little bit confused at the start of two, but that's about it for about five minutes.
Even if you never watched any of these, you know, it's not like, oh, you've never seen Nightmare on Elm Street, which is a big one. You know, it's not like that. No one's going to be like, oh, you've never seen that. They'd just be like, ah, it's worth a watch. You know, it's nothing. It's grand.
Like, there's certain horror movies that, like, if you'd need to see.
Yeah.
The likes of Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Halloween, Texas Chainsaw, Silence of the Lambs, things like that. There's ones that fall into, like, this, into the category of, if you see it, you've seen it.
Yeah, if you haven't.
This for me would probably be a low B, maybe a C rated.
Yeah, that's probably relatively fair, all right, yeah.
And then again, there's not many that will reach any higher than a B nowadays.
Yeah, it's quite few and far between, but that's
looking,
it for...
Looking a bit better nowadays, but the next little while, but sure, we'll have to wait and see.
That's the thing, you always have to wait and see. They always look good in the trailers, and then who knows what you're going to actually get.
Fate is going to deal us a cruel blow here and give us a whole pile of shy.
It could be. But that's it for this week. And we'll have one more next week. It's another old classic. We won't tell you just yet what it is, but we will tell you that it's not one of the big horrors either. It's an old classic, and it sticks with our line of, you know, Halloween films, but not particularly
this one was horror either. Different. As I said, it was picked by someone else who didn't show up.
This one, even this one, is not a massive horror either, do you know?
This is more just flashy.
Yeah, this is more of a bit of a thriller sort of thing. But that's it for this week, so good luck.